Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. We're still working to get the slide deck up, but this is our ICANN security team briefing. Yeah. So I'm Patrick Jones with the security team. We'll go down the line and introduce ourselves. Give you an overview of our main areas of work, also introduce new Chief Security Officer Jeff Moss, talk about the our FY12 Security Stability and Resiliency Framework, and the comments that were received on that document, as well as our priorities, how we see engaging with the community, and hopefully make this more interactive and take some questions. So with that, introduce everybody.
I'm Dave Piscatello, Senior Security Technologist at ICANN.
I'm Jeff Moss, the shiny new CSO.
I'm John Crane, the not-so-shiny and old Senior Director of Security, Stability, and Resiliency Programs.
Yep, we're working on getting the slide deck set up, but as we do that, the next section was to introduce you and to get a chance to for you to talk about background interests and your role with us.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Jeff Moss, and in a previous life, I was started a business that failed. And that forced me to have to get a job, which ended up being at Ernst & Young in their information security practice. And then from there, I went on to a company called, I don't know if you guys remember this, it was a Secure Computing Corporation, which was the spin out of, who was that, Honeywell?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a spin off of Honeywell.
Defense.
Yeah. And then from there, I built their professional services division. And the relevant part of that was it got me ultimately in charge of the Asia-Pacific region. So I came to Singapore. I've been coming here since about 1998. And this country is completely different than what it was from 98. It's just evolved so rapidly. But back then, they were doing business with us because it was the only country that decided that they were running IPv6 or going to run IPv6, and they needed a firewall that was certified. And this was in 98. And then from there, I moved on. I'm most known for a series of information security conferences, DEF CON and Black Hat, which is another business I had started, which I sold. So now I just remain tentatively connected to Black Hat in the content selection side as a contractor, but I don't have any day-to-day operational association, really, besides answering phone calls and giving advice. So when that happened, about that time, Rod started heavily recruiting me to apply for the ICANN position, and I really liked the community, because the community in ICANN seems to be similar to the community in the security space, where sort of the best idea is supposed to win, and it doesn't really matter who you are; it's based on your arguments and the merits of the case. And ICANN is neutral, or tries to be very neutral, and the conferences I started were trying to be very vendor neutral. So there was this natural affinity between the two, what I had done in the past and what I wanted to do in the future. And the other thing about ICANN I found very interesting is there's only one of you. If you talk to your friends, you can say, hey, what's it like working at AT&T or T-Mobile or Deutsche Telekom or Orange? But you can't really ask your friends what's it like working anywhere but ICANN. And it's a unique organization that sometimes gets lost in the mix, I think, in the outside, in the wider security world, because I feel sometimes it can be a bit insular. And so I'm hoping to try to bring in a wider audience, a larger attention to the issues. Some of the things I'm worried about, I'll just briefly touch on that since we don't have a presentation up there. I'll just keep talking. Oh, you do? So I can stop?
Sure.
No. Is I'm spending more time in Washington, D.C., which is the office I'm working out of. I'm busy trying to buy a place in D.C. right now. And A year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, there was no legislation really relating to information security in Washington, D.C., in the United States. And the session that just ended, we saw 71 or 73, depending upon how you count, bills. And to go from zero to 70-something in a year is very frightening, because it's not the quantity of legislation, you know, it should be the quality of legislation. So this year, I think we already have several, Protect IP and some others that are coming along. And this is very unique in U.S. history. We also had the United States that came out with a national strategy for cyberspace. And some other countries are following suit. And so I think in the next couple of years, we'll see a lot of countries putting a stake in the ground and saying, this is what we believe in as a, you know, as a national country. Well, all of this is going to influence our operations, and we need to be aware of that. So that's something that's been very interesting to me. I used to always believe that there was a technical solution to a technical problem, and the more time I spend in, you know, the higher layer, you know, 8 and 9, the more I realize that a lot of the stuff is policy driven, and you need to engage at the policy level at a much, much more actively. And that's another growing fascination of mine, and has been consuming the last several years of my life. So I'm perfectly happy. My strategy on the security team is I want security to be seen as an enabler of business, an enabler of the community. I don't want security to really become a roadblock to anything. And if it does, we need to figure out why and how we can get around it. Because while security presents a unique set of challenges, I don't think any of them are impossible. You know, there are solutions to these problems. It's just, is there enough political will to institute them? And so part of what I'll be trying to do is figure out, is there enough will to pursue these, or is it a waste of time and we're going to end up, you know, burning up goodwill that we should be better using elsewhere? So as part of that strategy, I have an open door policy where I'll talk to anybody about anything. My team is available to answer questions or point you in the right resources in the right directions. And really, I think a lot of this is about information exchange, and no one person has the perfect optimal answer. And so I always remind myself of that. There's no perfect solution. I had a law professor once who he was a constitutional law professor, but he said, you know, politics is the art of what's possible, not what's perfect. And I can't forget that. For some reason, I've carried it around for all these years because it's really, it's real. I find it really true. And so I want to try to help do what's, you know, possible, and push those limits and constantly expand what's possible so we can get as close to perfect as reasonable. So that's my little rant. And I'll pass it back to Patrick. And we'll be available for questions at the end. So.
Thanks, Jeff. We have a slide deck, but if you're in Adobe Connect, you'll be able to see it, as well as for remote participants. The slide that we have up right now is a description of the ecosystem and ICANN's role. And if it's not on the main, is it not showing up in Adobe?
That's not on the screen.
It's not showing up on the screen.
Yeah, that's not on the screen.
Everybody has a laptop. Just get over it.
Don't we have tech support?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll work through the logistics, but I. Yeah. All right. So, one of the things that we tried to do for our FY12 security framework was to take a step back and make a clear distinction between those areas that are ICANN operational, such as LRoot, IT, DNS operations, that internal to ICANN, you know, compliance, the string evaluation function for the IDN fast track, meeting logistics, administration, finance, that sort of thing, and separate that or make a distinction between those areas where ICANN acts as a coordinator, collaborator, and a facilitator with the community, and also those areas where ICANN's an observer on the activities of others in the global internet ecosystem. So that's sort of as a baseline, try to make it very clear for the community what things that are internal, collaborative, versus observing. And for the security team we had set up before Jeff came on board, our team areas into global security outreach, engagement and awareness with the greater community, our security collaborative efforts, such as with the Config or Working Group, and also the DNS capability training program with partners such as ISOC and the regional top-level domain organizations. And then our corporate security programs, so that includes everything from internal IT, meetings, physical personnel security, as well as business continuity planning and risk management. And then those areas across the organization where security team supports efforts such as the new GTLD program, the IDN variant work, and the fast track the DNSSEC implementation, overall policy development, the compliance activities, and work with global partnerships and the government affairs team. So for last year, the major activities where security was a contributor included the DNSSEC implementation in the root. Several of us were part of the key signing ceremonies. I think we've now done 6 key ceremonies. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but we just did one in Culpeper, Virginia about a month ago. Yeah, and they rotate between Culpeper and the key signing facility in Los Angeles. In addition to that, we've conducted a LROOT continuity exercise and participated with. They're taking care of it. So supporting international cyber exercises, ENISA, ICANN was also involved in a large international cyber exercise with some CCTLDs, and then supporting community efforts to look at threats and risks to the DNS, such as the DNS Security Stability Analysis Working Group. It's meeting for the first time face-to-face here in Singapore. And then also building on efforts from the San Francisco meeting, with greater engagement with law enforcement and the security operations community. We did our first Chief Information Security Officers Roundtable in San Francisco, so we're working to build on that. And then also we supported the DNS OARC to meet at San Francisco and do their joint session with the CCNSO Tech Day. And then John can also talk about work around DNS measurement and metrics tools, like the supporting actions like the RIPE Labs Atlas program. And then lastly, sort of a brief overview of our FY12 Security Stability Resiliency Framework. So this was a document that we published May 2nd. Of this year, and we had public comment from May 2nd to June 7th. I'm really pleased with this document because it was one where, as a team, we reached out to ESSAC at large and some others pre-publication to conduct some targeted discussions, and that really helped shape the revisions that went into publishing it. I thought this was really useful because it helped make a distinction between ICANN's role in security, the greater ecosystem, and try to put some distinction between those areas that are internal ops, collaboration, and observation with the community. So this is a document that is up for board acknowledgement on Friday, and we received quite a bit of positive feedback from the community, that there was general support for this new format as well as appreciation for posting it in with translations in 5 UN languages at the same time. The CCNSO and the registry stakeholder group requested some improvement on definitions in the document and precision on describing ICANN's remit. But there was general support for an environmental scan to assess the current internet security ecosystem and work to involve the broader internet community, including enterprise users, internet infrastructure entities, government entities in that work as we move forward. So at this point, we'll turn it over. I want to, you know, go down the line and, you know, have a introduction of what some of your activities are going to be for this next fiscal year, and then also open it up for questions too, because we're at a point where before I give an introduction to what the some community engagement in security includes, the DSSA working group. So this is a cross community working group that was endorsed in Cartagena by the CCNSO, the GNSO at large, the NRO, and also has liaison support from ESSEC. So this is a working group that's going to examine the actual level, frequency, and severity of threats to the DNS, you know, look at current efforts and activities to mitigate those threats and the gaps, if any, and then hopefully come up with some recommendations. This group is interesting because it's huge. It's made up of a lot of people in the space and touches on the different actors in the ecosystem. And it's working somewhat on a parallel track with the affirmation review team on SSR. That group is going around and meeting with various stakeholders and advisory committees this week here in Singapore. And I know you know, there's some in this room that participate in the DSSA as well as are on the affirmation review team. So I'm hoping that they'll get a chance to talk to each other this week and further the greater community discussion around SSR. So with that, I'm going to turn it back down the line to talk about what some of our priorities going forward, you know, training, the interest from law enforcement, as well as you know, our role in supporting community initiatives and being open, and then take some questions.
So who are you turning it to? Jeff?
I'm going down the line. So policy development?
Oh. Well, I may be talking about activities that we haven't even funded yet, but I'm sort of if you are familiar with American football, I'm sort of a free roaming linebacker. I work with the policy team. I support ESSEC. I work with compliance, and I work with the security team. Part of playing that role is trying to make certain that all the players in ICANN are on the same page with respect to security and with respect to the current threat landscape. We're paying attention to and assessing risk and trying to understand where best to put our resources. So some of what I do and much of what I'll do for the remainder of this year is work with external security communities like the APWG, the Anti-Phishing Working Group, the Message Anti-Abuse Working Group, and other law enforcement and security and OPSEC venues to discuss what are the most pressing problems that law enforcement and the security community face when they're dealing with crimes that either involve or exploit DNS and registration systems. So I'll be doing some presentations of some of the work that ESSEC has produced over the past 6 months at NESNet Internet 2 Joint Techs Conference next month. I'll be participating in a Team Kimry underground information exchange meeting sometime later in the year. I'll be working with several of the people on the panel here on a DNS conference called DNS Easy, where we'll be talking quite a bit about DNSSEC and other threats to the DNSSEC or to the DNS later in the year. As an example, some of the outreach. I'm a member of the APWG Internet Policy Committee. I spend a fair amount of time working with them, and we actually do things that are not necessarily directly related to to the DNS. but help ICANN contribute with some of its expertise in things like assessing web vulnerabilities, how to recover from attacks against a website, and some other broader security matters. With the security team, one of the things that I hope to be able to do considerably more over the next year is work more in cooperation with and try to assist law enforcement and the security community in having an appropriate voice at ICANN, and also in understanding how ICANN, the corporate entity, can work more closely with law enforcement on issues that require the kind of urgent attention that we saw was so important in combating the Conficker worm several years ago. As many of you may know, there have been a number of similar sizable takedowns of botnets, Rustock, Core Flood, and others. And while ICANN hasn't played a direct role in those, it's inevitable that at some point in time, because domain names are involved and because there are going to be contractual issues or there are going to be other issues in terms of connecting the dots, putting people in touch with the right TLD operators and trying to understand the right way to do a suspension, whether a suspension is appropriate or whether a sinkholing is appropriate, that it's a good thing that we have more security expertise and that Jeff is bringing them together to be able to pay attention to these and provide redress and remedy in as many different manners as is necessary to combat crime. So that's a long-winded way of saying I try to do what is necessary to essentially keep the DNS clean. So.
Since my tenure at ICANN is much shorter, my answer will be much shorter. But on the ICANN, the company side, the internal side, I sort of think of it, which I believe will be consuming probably 30% of my time, is sort of an inward-facing role, and the rest of my time will become an outside or externally-facing role. I'm going to be spending the immediate future trying to get a better understanding of our risk analysis for our company, what risks we face, update that, better understand what the new GTLD program means to our risk profile changing, and DNSSEC adoption as it accelerates and more people start putting interesting things inside DNSSEC responses. I'm curious what happens to our risk profile there as well. Instead of getting a number back when you ask a query, what if you get a recipe or a picture of a cat? There's all kinds of stuff people are going to be stuffing into DNSSEC that was not envisioned, and I'm curious on what that means. I'm also be in the very near term. We'll be with the security team. We'll be consolidating some of the security team functions. We'll be preparing for additional activities surrounding the GTLD program. And so, once we have all of our people in place, that'll allow us to be very clear moving forward. And then on the outside facing, a lot of stuff is going on. There's the SSAC that we're trying to support, and the SSRT initiatives, and the DSSA. I'll be spending my time better understanding those groups and how we can answer any of their questions or support them in their endeavors when they come to us for support. And as Patrick talked about, I'm too trying to figure out exactly how law enforcement fits in, what our role is, because I believe it's important to have their cooperation and involvement in securing security and stability. We need their support to go back to their national governments and say that ICANN actually pays attention to these things and cares about online crime and shares some of our concerns. I'm just not sure exactly what kind of a role they will play. I know there was a meeting at the San Francisco ICANN, where they had one of their first meetings where they all got together and talked about their concerns. And I believe they did that again at this meeting. So maybe just having an avenue for them to be able to talk to one another is sort of a first for them. And that'll help inform their own decisions about what it is they're looking for from ICANN. And if they can communicate those clearly, it'll be good for all of us. So I have so much on my plate that I can't see a whole year in my future. I'm lucky if I can see 3 or 4 months right now. Thank you.
Okay, so I just got off an airplane, so excuse me if I'm a little jet-lagged here. One of the main areas that we've been focusing on over the last couple of years is working with CCTLD organizations to help them build their capabilities around operations and security of those operations. We expect to continue working with the regional CCTLD groups over the next year and continue with those trainings. There is a question as to whether or not there are other areas where we need to be giving training, not only to the CCTLDs, but maybe other parts of the community. These training programs are very much community-driven, so if there are things that need to be done, then we need to hear from the community. What we don't want is ourselves going forward on that. So we have our discussion about whether or not there needs to be training on IPv6, on DNSSEC, whether or not law enforcement would be interested in some training and other things in these areas. All of this is a little up in the air because we need to get requests from these people more forward to us. The other area that I will be working on a lot this year is the definition and measurement of some of the things that we talk about in my title, like what is resiliency, what is security, what is stability when it pertains to the identifier systems. There are a lot of different organizations out there in the world now and groups that are looking at such classifications and definitions and how they should be measured. A lot of this is in relation to what they call CIIP, critical information programs, critical information infrastructure protection. So we're seeing a lot of requests for input on those, so I suspect that will continue throughout the year, and it seems to be building to a crescendo. There's a lot of different groups working on that. I'll work a lot with Dave Piscatello on interacting with some of these groups, and probably with Jeff over the next year as he's agreed to join us in doing some of the outreach. Those are the main things, and I suspect Patrick will want to talk to some of our internal stuff for the other Jeff.
Yeah, so we do have some other members of the team who aren't here who cover our internal security, meeting security, and we'll be working quite a bit on continuity and contingency exercises and also testing of systems before any of the launch for new TLDs, making sure that auditing and vulnerability testing and making sure that there won't be loss of confidential data prior to announcement of any strings. So there's still quite a bit of work to be done there, and we look forward to being involved in supporting the new GTLD team in that area. And also other continuity and contingency exercises that happen. Excuse me. I mentioned we did an LROOT exercise. That was the fourth of our annual continuity exercises that we've done as part of the program. So the first was a registry failover exercise that was internal for ICANN from a few years ago. And then we did an exercise that was with VeriSign and Afilias. And then the previous year, we did an IANA continuity exercise that was a live rollover of systems from the West Coast to the East Coast of the U.S. So I would envision that there'll be further exercises, including work with NTIA and VeriSign on root zone management system contingency and other things like that. So at this point, we have time for questions. If there's any one of you that wants to raise anything or ask something more of Jeff or John or Dave or myself. And I see a question in the audience.
Marilyn, I have all of your microphones.
We'll see if we can get a microphone. It's coming from the back.
Talk into your shoe. We'll know.
Thanks. And I want to compliment you, Patrick, and the rest of the team on the format and content of the materials that you provided. My name is Marilyn Cade. I'm the chair of the business constituency. I think there's some other folks from the business constituency here. Let me also, though, ask a question about, you don't need to look at page 20. I'm going to tell you what my question is. We have four strategic objectives that are identified. But in the body of the work product, there are several references to enhancing awareness, building what I would consider more informed user base, including businesses. As we all know, a vast part of the internet is operated by the ISPs, the web hosting companies, those of us who build and run the internet, not just the DNS providers. And I'm pleased to see the beginning of the recognition of the implications of the export in, export out nature of the activities that we do here at ICANN. I would like to propose that we think about a fifth strategic objective and how that would be couched in enhancing the awareness of users. It's sort of embedded in the work product, but it's not one of our strategic, it's not identified as a strategic objective. I think we need to think about if we're talking about collaborative activities and outreach, that then enhancing awareness is clearly one of our goals. So that's one question. And then the other point I think I would make is while we've improved somewhat in the level of detail and the explanation at an extremely high level is clearer, you will continue to hear from the business constituency that we feel overall, including in this plan, that ICANN needs to provide deeper levels of detail that can be interactively discussed.
So an example of a more interactive detail.
Jeff, we're going to spend a lot of money on a DNS forum. I can't remember the exact name of it. And whatever the plans are, and they may be perfectly great plans, if they are targeted at a particular set of players, your plans may be very, very suitable for those. If they are going to be inclusive of the broader business community and the ISP community, then we may have something to offer in as the business constituency or even other stakeholders from ICANN on how to ensure the broadest and most effective participation. And since I don't have any detail, I can't give you any comments.
Yeah, I think Patrick's going to take this question.
All right.
Because he's got about, 8-9 more years of history?
So, Marilyn, I think you're referring to a potential and proposed third DNS SSR symposium. In 2009, we did the first one in Georgia Tech University, and then in 2010, there was a follow-on symposium at Kyoto University in Japan. So what you're suggesting and what we actually owe the community if there's going to be a third one is to publish a date and information about it and an agenda and note if it's going to be open or closed or targeted to a particular group and provide that level of and also when on the calendar so that people are going to attend.
Thank you for that. But you see, this would be, you're making a point that I should have made more clearly. Actually, that isn't what you should do. You should have a draft that you seek input from enough of the community that's relevant that to make sure that you end up with support for that. And you know, I think that probably is in your plan, But I'm just suggesting when you come out for consultation, it's extremely difficult. And if you feel that you can't take consultation with everyone and that you really want to have targeted consultation, then you do have a community of leaders across the constituencies and in the SOs and ACs to do a kind of a, can we test a straw proposal with you?
So, Marilyn, I'm actually on the steering committee of this DNSEZ conference, which I mentioned earlier. One of the hard parts about doing a conference where what you want to try to do is pull the people with the greatest technical expertise to tackle a global technical problem is how do you actually figure out who to invite? And it's like any other academic driven kind of conference. We essentially ask somebody to take over the chairmanship, and they ask the community who is the right set of individuals. And so, there's a certain amount of subjectivity in who gets invited and what gets covered. And there is a steering group of, I guess, between 12 and 18 people that have been, put together in the last 6 to 8 weeks. And, we are currently working on, the program agenda, the call for papers. And this is the kind of conference similar to something that you might see at USENIXX or any other academic conference where people are publishing articles that are literally refereed journal quality. I'm open and I'm certainly willing to carry anything that you might suggest into the steering committee. And if you want to send some ideas to me, that's a great idea.
You're hearing me because your answers are not responsive to my question. I like your answers, and I might act on them. What I'm saying to you is in material like this, when you're taking comments, you need to get, Dave, you've already told me more than anyone in the community probably knows about the organization of this. That's great. And so for anyone who's here or they're reading the transcript, they got it. But just the level of detail that will say the options we're considering are a highly refereed conference, we're going to use a steering group, our focus is going to be on option, these three areas. It's not going to be at a level that is suitable for the layperson. Just enough that people can say, oh, wow, what a great idea, and this is how it fits in. Or they can say, well, in addition to that, you need to add a day for decoding this for governments and lay people. You're shortchanging our ability to support you without a little more detail.
Certainly not by intent. And I take what you say to heart, and I think it's a very good idea that we're able to talk more about that. So.
Anyone else in the audience have questions or something that they want to raise with the team? Anyone on the affirmation review team want to raise a question or something, or from the DSSA group? So I'm looking at someone in the front row or from Mikey on the other side. If you have, this is your opportunity to raise a question, feel free.
Is being turned on. This is Bill Manning. As a member of the review team, last Thursday, after a long gestation period, U.S. Department of Homeland Security released a risk profiling for the domain name system. Not sure if you guys have taken a look at that or if you've seen it, but that's something that I suspect we're going to see similar types of things emerge from other sovereign entities about their views about the risks of the domain name system. How are you guys going to accommodate sovereign entities who come up with their own sets of risk frameworks for the DNS. Have you thought about that?
Well, first off, you acknowledge them. Thank you for your contribution. And compare them to your own analysis in case they come up with some new novel angle that you haven't considered. The DHS one was interesting, at least to me, because it gave a very low probability to denial of service attacks against the root operators, the root servers. And I don't know if I would have assigned it that low of a probability. So there might be, they might identify a risk, and we might disagree over the risk probability that might inform later decisions that we make. But I think the more governments consider the risks to the global DNS and unique identifying system, I think the more they'll understand and be socialized to the problems that we face. I don't see it really as being a negative. I see it as being a positive that the countries are now understanding the value of these systems, and therefore they should understand the value of what we've been doing all these years. So I'm not worried about it. I'm just hoping that they don't run off and start legislating.
I believe that they, in fact, will run off and start legislating individually in their own sovereign territories, and harmonizing, getting to the common subset of risks globally, I think is going to be a really interesting set of challenges. Is ICANN up to that? Are you guys up to that?
So this is already happening, but as you're probably well aware, the issue of critical information infrastructure protection and whether or not DNS is part of that is being raised left, right, and center by many governments. I think not just from ICANN, say ICANN as staff, but ICANN as a community, there is going to be issues of how we give input into this. I know as a staff member and other staff members, we do get asked by various governments to come and explain to them what the DNS is, normally after they've decided it's important. And I suspect that others in the community are getting the same thing. So I think as a community, we do need to work on this and be aware of it. I don't know what the implication is for resources and for how far we get dragged into all of this. We certainly can't ignore it, and I think it certainly behooves us as a community to try and make sure that the governments that are doing these fine kind of things are as well informed as we possibly can. And we probably have a lot more work on staff to do in this area.
Yeah, the DHS risk strategy that you're referring to is interesting because, as you're well aware, we were an invited subject matter expert into that, as well as some of you that are here in this room, and I know you were, and I know Suzanne was, and there were some from industry. The problem, one of the issues with that report, though, is that it was completed over a year ago, and it's been sort of going through the approval process for posting, and so interesting to see if it's stale or how much has changed, and that's natural with any document, but this is one where there's been quite a bit of rapid change, and already there's been some things happen. So that's just one aspect. I believe there was also an ANISA study that was 250-some pages, incredibly detailed on risk profile and stuff.
And they don't overlap.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah. Marilyn.
Question that's sort of related to that. In your non-contracted parties partners list, one thing that really stands out to me is who's not there. And I know you're just beginning to build those sets of relationships. But I might note that some of the regional multilateral groups are picking up as much interest in this set of issues and in addition to the IGOs, the intergovernmental organizations. And there are many not only technical experts in ICANN, but many geopolitical experts in ICANN that have very strong relationships at the geopolitical level. And you, I think, are really going to need to be inclusive of that input into your outreach to them. And it's going to be really important to reach into some of those regional groups. They probably have a very direct ability to help you to interact with groups of governments.
Yes. And can I ask you to help us with that kind of thing? Because we do, as staff, also get asked from who else should be involved in this, and we don't always know. So if you want to get together and have coffee at some point, and or anybody else, and want to talk about how we can reach out to these people in better manners, that's always good. We can always improve in that area.
In light of recent changes or proposed changes by the U.S. government and other bodies for blocking portions and lists on the DNS, we as an organization have sidestepped the issue of organized blocking for a fair number of years, I would say. And I was curious as to what within the ESSAC seems to be rising up as a political issue more and more. Are there any plans for addressing blocking within DNS? It seems to break DNSSEC pretty badly.
So we actually published a paper on Saturday, and apologies for ESSAC publishing a paper in the midst of an ICANN meeting, but it was sort of important to try to respond to a request from the Government Advisory Council. And the paper is on the ICANN ESSAC pages. It's SAC 50, and it's... I also wrote a little blog article that sort of gives an overview of it. If you want me to give you that later, I can. But basically, ESSAC's position at this point, in a sort of a 10-word soundbite, is first, do no harm. And so the principles in the paper identify the need for any organization, whether it be a private enterprise or a home, a family, or an organization or a sovereignty, to understand the parties that are going to be affected by the policy, to anticipate and try to consider any collateral effects of blocking. And there are a set of missives and guidelines in what is essentially a two-page high-level description of the consequences. So unlike the Protect IP paper that Dr. Crocker and Danny McPherson and several others wrote, where they essentially identified and enumerated some of the technical issues and problems associated with this, this is more of a meta look at at the issue, and a call to the attention of governments to the fact that understand what you're doing is not simply going to affect only people that you believe are under your sovereign administration. And when we talked to the GAC yesterday about it, there was a significant amount of nodding of heads and that this was important for them to understand from the meta level, but still some curiosity about some of the harder things to wrap your head around, like if one government does it, what are the effects? If 14 governments do it, what are the effects? There are probably some successive issues about, you know, legitimizing this as a reason to do blocking, and then suddenly thinking, well, if it's right for anti-piracy and it's right for morality and public order, maybe it's right for phishing, or maybe it's right for whatever, embargoes. Or, yeah, I mean, if you look at the number of different things you can now use in the Maslow hammer manner, this can get quite a bit out of hand simply at the administrative level, much less at the technical level. So I think there's a lot of work yet to be done in that, and ESSEC is probably going to pursue it. But read the first paper, because that's actually going to be the principle on which we'll pursue all the rest.
So I think we're now at the end of our allotted hour, and there's another group coming in after us. So at this point, Jeff, do you have some parting remarks?
Yeah, I want to thank everyone for coming in and meeting us. I think we're almost all here through Friday or Saturday. And if you have any questions, we'll be in the back of the room right after this session, and then we're around. Just feel free to approach any of us. If you have something of a more confidential nature, then you know, don't talk to us in front of everybody. Wait until we're close to the side. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking your time. We're officially closed.